Okay, so today we're going to talk about Parshas Nasi. You know, most people, when they talk about Nasi, there's Saita, there's Nazir, then there's the end of the Parsha talks about the Nasiim and what they brought. The beginning of the Parsha talks Levium. There's also in Parshas Nasi the Tzivui to send out called Teruah V'Cholzah V'Chol Tamei Nafesh. So there's a lot of different things. It's the biggest Parsha of the year. The biggest single Parsha of the year is Parshas Nasi. It's 176 Pesukim. So it's a very long Parsha. Baruch Hashem, it goes very quick because all the Bali Kairas know it because they lay in on Chanukah. And, you know, Karbanah, Kairas Kesef, Achash. It goes really, really quick, the Parsha. So if you're at some kind of backyard minion and you're itching to get home, you're okay. Anyways, but there's a few Pesukim out of the blue. You have to see the Ramban why the Torah is even putting this here. The Torah repeats a series of psukim that we already discussed in Parshas Vayikra. Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Lemer, Dabar El Bnei Yisrael, Isha Isha Kiyasim Mikol Chatas Adam, Limo Ma Bashem, V'Oshma HaNefesh Ahi. Okay, so the Rashi explains that what we're talking about over here is a person stole and denied it, and then he admitted. You have to bring a special carbon called Asham Gizelis, and when you pay, you have to pay a chaimish. And Rashi says, why are we repeating the parsha? Rashi says we're going to be mechadish, the idea that if if he's a Jew that doesn't have any relatives. Now, what kind of Jew does not have any relatives? Like a ger, shein liyarshim, you give it to the kahanim. So the Torah kind of repeats the parsha, and it's mechadish, two halachas in this parsha. You'll take a look at it. It's right after Perek Hay. Okay, but I want to tell you something very interesting today. There's a Rambam. The Rambam talks about that if you do something wrong to your friend and you pay him back, okay? It's a Mishnah, actually, in Perek HaChayvo. Okay, so the Mishnah says, if I stole from you and I paid you back, I'm not done yet. I have to ask you mechila, right? The Mishnah says, Afa pishu noisin loy, ein nimchaloy ad sheyevakish mimenu, until you ask the guy mechila. Now, when the Rambam quotes this pasuk, the Rambam says, and what's the source to this? The Rambam says, "V'chein achayil bechaveri v'hamazik memaynai, afal pisha shilim loy." Even if you paid him back, mashu chayil loy, einam eschaper. You don't get your atonement. Ashi is vade until you do vidu v'yoshu melasik zel oilam shenema mikol chatois adam. The source is this week's parsha. When the Torah speaks about a guy who stole from somebody and then admits and then he pays him and he gives a chaimish and he brings an asham, the Torah says in pasuk vav, parakei pasuk vav, dabar al bnei yisrael isha isha kiyasu mikol chatois adam limo ma bashem v'hizvadu. You have to do vidu, you have to confess. So the Rambam says the makar for that halacha is this week's parsha, this pasuk. The Kesef Mishnah asks a kashan to Rambam, why in the world did the Rambam bring the pasuk in this week's parsha? This is a halacha in Bava Kamma. I read to you before, the Mishnah says, Ava bishu noisenloi, eino nimchaloi ad sheyevakish mimenu shenemar. The Mishnah quotes a different pasuk. The story is in Sefer Bereishis, there was a king named Avimelech that takes Sarah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes in a dream to Avimelech and says, you better return her. The husband is a Navi, and we learn out from there, the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, that when you ask Mechila, when you repair the damage that you did. In this case, he took someone's wife, you have to return the wife, you have to ask Mechila. Now, how do you see from that pasuk? Because Hashem says, you better return the wife, Ki Naviyu, and he will daven for you. And the Mefarsha on the Mishnayos explain what Hashem is saying to him, ask for a forgiveness to the point that he has nothing in his heart against you, he'd even daven for you. Okay, so you see from there, you see from the story with Avimelech and Sarah that you have to ask Mechila until the person's Meichel you. So why did the Rambam bring a source for this week's Parsha? That's the Kasha, Kesev Mishnah Kasha, he has a Tzarchian. Okay, so before we go into this, I just want to tell you a little bit. In this Shir, Baruch Hashem, we've been, Usher reminded me, we've been giving it a very long time, so I may have touched upon a fellow, his name was Rav Zalman Levalozhiner. Okay, so the Vilna Gaon had seven Talmidim which were Raye Pnei HaMelech. They had access to the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon, as we well know, learnt 22 hours a day. He took four naps a day of a half an hour each, three at night, one during the day. And he basically learnt his whole life. The Vilna Gaon was born in 1720 and was Nifter in 1797. And over his lifetime, he had seven Talmidim. The most famous one being Reb Chaim Volozhiner, and then some other famous ones, Reb Menachem Mendel Mishklov and Reb Yisrael Mishklov. Now, what's not so well known is that Reb Chaim Volozhiner had a brother who was 7 years younger than him. His name was Reb Zalmala. Now, we know, mostly what we know about Reb Zalmala is from a book called Toldos Adam. Okay, it's a biography of Reb Zalman Volozhiner. It was written by a Maggid of Vilna that lived at a time. His name was Rabbi Cheskel Feivel. Rabbi Cheskel Feivel was 1 year younger than Reb Zalmala. Reb Zalman was born in 1756. Now, Reb Zalmala died very, very young. Tragically, he died 32 years later. So 1756, he died in 1788. That's approximately 10 years before the Vilna Gaon himself died. Now, the Reb Zalman Volozhiner was some kind of prodigy. This book is an amazing book. It's the story of, it was written, the first printing of this book was in 1801. That means only 13 years after Reb Zalman Volozhiner died, they came out with a biography on his life from a contemporary of his times. We're not talking about a story that was written hundreds of years later. We're talking about somebody who lived in Vilna at the time, was only 1 year younger than Reb Zalmala, and 13 years later, they printed a book about him. So it's very credible. There are some people that didn't like this Reb Yecheskel Feivel. So there are pikpukim on him, but for most of the part, the Sefer is a very, very strong biography. Now, it's a hard biography to read because interspersed between the biographical information and the story, he'll bring some chidushei Torah from him and he'll go on tangents, but it's an extremely impressive book. The well-known stories that we know about Reb Zalman Volozhiner is in this book. So for example, in the introduction to the second part of the book, the author of the book, Rabbi Cheskel Feivel, goes around through Europe and gets haskamas of the book. So it's an amazing. He gets a haskama from a rav in Vilna, and this haskama was in 1802. The guy, there's a footnote over here. Now, this is written by Shol Katzum Katzum Elleboygen, that he was a rav in Vilna. There's a footnote over here. He says, I know for a fact that the Hagoyin Reb Zalman Volozhiner learned Torah Lishma. He was an ois umayfiz l'dareinu. He was something outstanding, one type of person in a generation. Shebi Yosei ben Chof Dalet Shanim. When he was 24 years old, Hoya Kol HaShas, Safra, Sefri, Taisefta, Midrashim, Rambam, Tor, Shigurim Alpiv. He knew everything verbatim. Kol Torah Kula at the age of 24. So he was an extremely prodigy. Besides that he was a prodigy, he also would review constantly. There are many stories about this. He literally, every time he learned something, he'd review it. So there's, I have a few stories to say over from him, just to get a little taste of him. First of all, there's a joke they say about him. Now, I was able to trace where the origins of this joke, you know, the joke is not true, but there's an origin to this joke. So the joke they say about Reb Zalman Volozhiner is, they say that Reb Zalman Volozhiner, anytime he would do something, for example, Shabbos, he would learn all the halachas about Shabbos. When he would eat, he would learn about Hilchos Achil and Hilchos Birchas Hamazon. Came to Yom Tov, so the joke is that, let's say it was Yom Tov of Pesach. So every Pesach, he would have to learn Masechta Psachim, Masechta Beita, Masechta Mait Katan. So he would have a lot on his plate every Yom Tov. Shabbos, he would have to learn Shabbos and Erevin. So the joke goes that the day of his wedding, all the guests were here, and they wanted to start the wedding, but no one could find the chassan, Reb Zalmala. So they said, go look for him. So everyone's looking for him and they can't find him. They said, go look in the Beis Medrash. They said, they go look in the Beis Medrash and they see that Reb Zalman's in the Beis Medrash learning. They said, Reb Zalman, We need you. You're getting married. You got to get into Beis Medrash. All the guests are waiting for you. So he says, I would love to, but, you know, I have a Kabbalah. Before I do something, I learn all the Masechtas about it. So I'm about to get married. I'm going to get married and write a Ksuba now. So I'm Chazrin Kedushin and Ksubas right now. So they said, Reb Zalman, it's a very, very nice Kabbalah, but, you know, people are waiting for you. Please be Mati and Eder. So he says, okay, fine. First bring me Gemara and Nedarim. So that's the joke they say about him. But I found in this book, Toldos HaAdam, the source of this joke. Why they made this joke? In the 15th parak, it's on page 114. It's online. You can find the book. It's called Toldos HaAdam. Anyways, it says the following story. It says the following story, and that's the source. That's why this joke evolved. So it's Rav Hirsch ben Rav Ber Mevilna used to say that he was such a tzaddik, he would not say one word of Dvar B'Talem. So if he needed something, what would he do if he wanted someone to bring him lunch? He would say a pasuk or a chazal that has to do with what he's saying. So, for example, if he needed to eat, he would say out loud, Am Rab Yaisi, V'ye Adam L'Nefesh Chaya, Neshama Shenasati B'cha Hachayeh. There's a chazal that says, Hashem gave you neshama. You have to take care of it and eat well. So he would say that chazal, and people say, oh, he's probably hungry now. That's what he used to do. Anyways, I actually knew someone in Eretz Yisrael. His name was Rabbi Cheshin. He's a breast of a chassid, but one of the Cheshin brothers, he was like the top mind in the mirror when I was there. He also on Shabbos didn't speak. His grandchildren told me, his grandchild of my chavrusa in the mirror, his grandchild told me that he would learn, and when he wanted a coffee, he would go, Kaveh El Hashem Chazal, right? He would say, Kaveh El Hashem, and everybody knew he wants a kaveh, coffee. Anyways, one of the grandchildren told me that they made the coffee too weak and he didn't like it. He wanted them to make it stronger. So he first said, Kaveh El Hashem. They brought him the coffee, it was too weak. He says, No, Chazek, Chazek, V'yamid Slibecha. Make it stronger. Make the coffee stronger. So there were tzaddikim that didn't talk Dvarim B'Talem. So it says like this. So there were a bunch of Tamid Chacham were talking about this conduct that Reb Zalman Volozhiner used to do. So there was a fellow, his name was Rav Binyamin ben Rav Zalman Ravkish from the city of Shklov. He was talking to a Talmid Chacham. He said, Rav Zalmala never talked about Tzarchi Aguf. So someone said, that's not true. I myself saw Rav Zalmala told somebody, here, let me borrow a few dollars. I want to buy some honey cake. So they were very bothered because they knew the story to be true. And here's another Talmid Chacham contradicting the story. So when they met Reb Chaim Volozhiner, the older brother of Zalmala, they asked him, is the story true? Is it true that he never would talk Dvar B'Talem? And if it is true, what's pshat that he was asking people, I want to buy some cake, he was talking Dvar B'Talem. So unbelievable. Reb Chaim Volozhiner says, what was he doing when he asked you to get the cake? They said, I don't know, he was learning Yeridaya. They said, I have pshat for you. My brother, any time he did something, he learned all the halachas beforehand. My mother told him, now he died very young, my mother told him he has to eat honey cake. In those days, they thought if you have a weak heart, every day you have to have a piece of honey cake. So my mother was mitzav him, the mitzvah is kibbut avayim, I want you every day to eat honey cake. So he was opening up a yaradeya, he was learning hilchas kibbut avayim, and then he said, go buy me honey cake so I can be mekayim, my mother's tzivoy of eating honey cake every day. So that's, I think, the origin that whenever he would do something, he would learn the halachas beforehand. Okay, so in this sefer, we have a pshat in this Rambam, which I told you about. Okay, so it goes like this. They told Reb Zalmala, why did the Rambam quote our parsha, this week's parsha, that when you wrong somebody, after you pay him back, or you have to ask mechila, the Rambam brought the pasuk, Mikol chatas ha'adam v'hizvadu. Now, whenever you sin, you have to repent. Why didn't he bring the one in that the Mishnah brings? The Mishnah brings that when you wrong somebody, you have to repent, because Avimelech Melech Gerar wronged Avram, and Hashem says, return the woman and basically ask Avram Mechila until he has nothing in your heart against you and even daven for you. Why? What's wrong with that pasuk? So on the spot, Reb Zalmala said, the Rambam source is a Sifri. The Rambam brings it, Mikol Chatzis HaAdam, Vizvadu, that's the source that any Avera, Bein Adam L'Chaverai, you have to ask Mechilov. So the Rambam had a Sifri. Okay, but now Reb Zalman of Lajon wants to know, why do we have, basically you could ask the question, why do we have two sources to teach us the same thing? One pasuk is teaching us this week's parsha, Mikol Chatas Adam Vizvadu, and then the story of Avraham Avinu, it says that that Avimelech had to ask Avraham Mechila. Why do you need two sources to teach the same thing? Now, the way Reb Zalmala asked it, he says that the Rambam repeats himself twice. The Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchos Tshuva, says, V'chein achoivu b'chaveroi v'hamazik v'moinoi, afo pisha shilim loi, mashu chayiv loi, einem ischapa ad shizvade, v'yoshev milafsis kezeh lo'olam shnemar mikol chatas adam. That's one Rambam. And then another Rambam, a few Prakim later, what I just quoted you is the first Rambam, Michel's Tshuva. The next, then the Rambam, four Prakim later, seems to completely repeat himself. The Rambam says, Eina Tshuva v'lo yom kippur mechaprim el aveir shebein adam lamakrim. Aval aveir shebein adam lachaveir kagoyin achayilu b'chaveiroi, oi hamakal lachaveiroi, oi goyzloi ki yoytzeboi, eina nimcha lo'oylem ad sheyitin lachaveir mashu chayiv l'viyirtzeyu. Why did Rambam repeat himself? Zakt Reb Zalma, beautiful. The Chayvus Alevavus says, in Chayvus Alevavus, there's a parak called, there's a shar called Shar Tshuva. The Chayvus Alevavus writes, let's see if I may have a copy here, 1 second. No. The Chayvus Alevavus writes that there are two categories of Averis. We know it, right? One half of the Luchos, other half of the Luchos, there's Averis Ben Adam LaMakayim, and Averis Ben Adam LaChaveri. Zakt Chayvus Alevavus, don't think that the Averis that are Ben Adam LaMakayim are only LaMakayim. And similarly, Ben Adam LaChaveri, the Averis that are only a Chaveri. That's not true. The Chayvus Alevavus writes, when you do an Averi that are Ben Adam LaChaveri, you did two Averis. One to your Chaveri, and one to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you do an Averi that's to your friend, it's not only a Ben Adam LaChaveri, it's also Ben Adam LaMakayim as well. Because you violated what Hashem told you. So now when I'm doing tshuva, and I have to do vidui, Zakt Reb Zalmala, what do I have to do? I have to do two viduis. I have to do one vidui to Hashem, and one vidui to my friend. So it's different. The Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Tshuva is talking about when you're doing vidui between you and Hashem. And that's the pasuk of the Sifri, and that's this week's parasha. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe medaber b'nei Yisrael isha isha giyasim mikol chatas adam v'hizvadu. That's when he's talking about bringing a carbon and you're confessing to Hashem. The pasuk and the Gemara Nachayvel, that's when you wrong your friend. You first have to apologize to your friend. That's when we learn that from Avimelech and Sarah. He stole his wife. He brings her back after you bring the wife back. You're not done yet. You have to apologize to your friend and you have to do ritzui. Okay, I did ritzui. So now Ben Adam the Chaver is wiped away. But now you still have to clap Achet HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's our parsha of Mikol Chatas Adam V'Hizvadu. So it's two different concepts. The Rambam, first Rambam's in Perek Aleph, that's the vidui that you bring with a carbon, and that's why the Rambam in Perek Aleph calls it vidui. The Rambam in Perek Dalid, when he talks about making amends with your friends, he doesn't call it vidui. He says, Ein HaTshuv Lo Yikipur Mechapen Al Veishu Melech HaMarkam, Avla Veishu Melech HaVeirei. You need to be meratze chaveri. It's a different concept. Ritzi chaveri is asking for an apology from your friend. So it's very beautiful how he shows that the two concepts, the Rambam and Perek Aleph, Rambam and Perek Dalet, have two different concepts. One is the chelik of Ben Adam lachaveri, and one is the chelik of Ben Adam lamakim. And everyone should have a gevaldike Shabbos. I just unmuted you all, and thank you for coming, and see you next week.
Thank you.
Shabbos. Bye.
See everybody.